This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So I thought, since this was my, what is it, ordiniversary? Ordiniversary, it's like Ananias, Jerry. Ordiniversary. I thought I'd wear something historic. So the first bishop of our diocese was Bishop Murray, who was installed 55 years ago. His widow attends St. Francis, and she gave his stoles to the church. And Father Christian gave this one to me. So this is one of Bishop Murray's stoles. So I thought I'd wear it today in honor of my ordiniversary and our diocese. I don't know about you, but when I first, the first time I came here and Christy introduced me, I made a comment about she was funnier than I thought. Now, I don't know what I was expecting, but she was very humorous. And I was struck by that on Easter. Now, you remember her sermon on Easter, and I thought it was wonderful and funny, and I started reflecting on, you know, I'm not terribly funny during my sermons. So I thought, now what, you know, what can I do about that? So I tried to think of stories that would relate to our gospel message this morning. And I ran across this one, which was at a Catholic elementary school. At the beginning of the lunch line was a big bowl of apples. And a nun wrote a sign to go beside the apples and said, "Take one, remember God is watching." So that was beside the apples. But when you got down to the end of the line, there was a big platter of cookies. And one of the students made a sign that said, "Take all you want, God's watching the apples." So, I think sometimes when we laugh at stories like that, we sometimes think maybe God is busy somewhere else. Maybe God isn't really watching what I'm up to. The mistakes I make, the people I hurt, the times I've wandered from what I know is right. Sometimes we feel guilty and carry that shame with us, hoping that maybe God's attention is somewhere else. But the good news of the gospel and the good news of the story of Peter this morning is that God does indeed see everything, the apples and the cookies. He doesn't keep a record to condemn us. Instead, he invites us, just like he invited Peter, into forgiveness, into restoration, and into a life of renewed purpose. So I want to look together today at how Jesus offered Peter and offers each of us a fresh start, a second chance, a new opportunity to experience God's grace and love. I like bumper stickers. So for the Easter season, I've chosen as my bumper sticker, "Living the Easter Life." Living the Easter Life. Easter is more than a day. It should be a lifetime of restored hope, of relentless grace, and transformative love. So today's story with Peter and Jesus invites us to consider that living the Easter life involves more than recognizing the risen Christ. It requires us to accept the grace that he offers us. It meets our deepest failures, and we can meet that failure with new purpose and new life. The scene between Peter and Jesus in today's gospel Some writers have said it's one of the most profound and moving exchanges in the New Testament. It's powerful in its honesty and transformative in its grace. Now remember, just a few days before, around a charcoal fire, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Probably that morning, as Jesus is cooking breakfast, the smell of charcoal must have been a harsh reminder, pulling Peter back into that moment, in that very painful memory. Jesus meets Peter beside this charcoal fire, not with an accusation, but with restoration. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It's important that that is the way Jesus addressed Peter the first time he met him. "Simon, son of John." So this is Jesus hearkening back to his very first encounter with Peter. I think Jesus' three questions correspond directly to Peter's three denials. Each repetition is not meant to shame Peter, but rather to heal him. Peter, remember, once confidently claimed he would never fail Jesus, now responds humbly, aware of his own brokenness and weakness. This is not Jesus testing Peter. This is Jesus redeeming Peter. He's taking Peter's failure and transforming it into an opportunity for forgiveness, renewal, and commission. Peter is restored not by sweeping the past away, but by directly confronting it in the compassionate presence of the risen Jesus. And then there's a subtle detail in Jesus' question. Jesus commands Peter to feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, showing to Peter the full scope of pastoral care, nurturing, protecting, and providing. This passage becomes not only Peter's restoration, but also his ordination. Love for Jesus is shown not simply by personal devotion, but by care for others. Love is the greatest privilege, but it also carries the greatest responsibility and inevitably leads to sacrifice. Remember Peter's somewhat odd reaction at seeing Jesus? He puts on some clothes and then jumps in the sea. This too, I think, is to remind us of Adam's story. Remember in Genesis when Adam was ashamed and hid from God. In this case, Peter, despite his shame, moves toward Christ. Peter no longer hides. His shame now propels him toward redemption, not away from it. Finally, John involves another vivid detail, the catch of 153 fish. There has been a lot written about what exactly the 153 means. There are numbers that it was just simply a detail for John to emphasize that this is a factual story. The most interesting one to me was the 4th century scholar Jerome, who said at the time there were 153 known species of fish in the ancient world. And so the 153 represented all the nations of the world that Peter and Jesus were responding to and showing the mission of the church. John's gospel insists on two great truths in this scene: the reality of Christ's resurrection and the mission of restored believers to care for others in his name. Peter, broken but redeemed, is the perfect embodiment of Easter grace, a grace that restores all of us precisely in those places where we failed most deeply. This then, my beloved, I would submit, is what living the Easter life really means. To allow Christ's compassion, his gaze to meet our failure and shame, and to respond to his healing love with lives devoted to caring for others, confidently extending God's grace to a world longing for redemption. So how do we do this? We face failures honestly. Like Peter, acknowledge your denials, acknowledge your shortcomings without hiding or making excuses. Freely accept Christ's grace. Realize that grace isn't just forgiveness, it's restoration and a renewed purpose. And care for others. Live your love for Christ by practically and consistently caring for others in our community. I have your homework here. You can get it on your way out if you'd like. I'm asking you to do three things this week. Reflect. Identify a personal failure of yours that weighs heavily on your heart. Then bring it to Jesus in prayer. Write down how Jesus might be restoring and recommissioning you, and write down how you might live out that restoration. And finally, act. Take one tangible action this week to feed Jesus' sheep. Offer help, kindness, or encouragement to someone in need. In the warmth of a charcoal fire on the shore, Jesus restored Peter, not with a rebuke, not with condemnation, but simply with gentle, repeated question, "Do you love me?" Jesus knew Peter's failure, just as he knows ours, but still, he offered restoration, grace, and a new beginning. Remember the kids at the Catholic lunch line? Take all you want. God's watching the cookies or the apples. We laugh because we're hoping that secretly God was watching somebody else's apples, somebody else's mistakes, not ours. But here's the gospel truth revealed in Peter's encounter with Jesus. God does see the apples. He sees our brokenness, our struggles, our failures, and yet he doesn't turn away. Instead, he meets us there, forgives us fully, and trusts us again. Today, Jesus asks each of us, as he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Not once, not twice, but as often as we need to hear it, until we finally believe that our past no longer defines us. Love defines us. Forgiveness defines us. Easter defines us. This is what it means to truly live the Easter life, to accept and extend forgiveness, to rise up from our past failures, and to boldly embrace God's new beginning. Because the Lord who sees every apple is the same Lord who lovingly says, "Follow me." Amen.